In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Thursday today, the 18th of October. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Two items with which to begin the program today. One geopolitical, the other a bit more econo-political, if you will. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin announced today that after talking with his boss and with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo about the disappearance and likely murder of dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, he is not going to be going to that investment conference in Saudi Arabia after all. No further elaboration from the Treasury Department was forthcoming on that one. So that is the economic slice of today's political news. The econo-political, I think I am coining that phrase officially, by the way, it came from former White House economic advisor Gary Cohn today. He did a whole thing on CNBC, said he is really pleased with the state of the economy overall, except for this one thing.
We are a service economy. Our economy is driven by service. We're 80%+ of our GDP, 80%+ of our job creation is services. So when you're a service economy, the way to stimulate your economy, the way to grow your economy, is to allow consumers to buy goods as cheaply as they possibly can and use the rest of their money to buy services or, if they're lucky enough, to save. Anything that raises the price of a good doesn't make sense for our economy. Even if they're paying it to the government as a tariff, it's just another tax.
Although he never did actually come out and say it, it's widely believed Cohn left the White House over the president's decision to go ahead with the trade war that we are in. And that trade war, by the way, does seem to be picking up a little bit of steam. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross was in Brussels this week talking things over with the European Commission. And you might recall back in July, the president agreed to hold off on his threat to hit European auto imports with tariffs. That would have been a very, very big deal. The president agreed to hold off while the two sides negotiated a bigger trade deal. Well, 3 months later, both sides are now blaming the other for lack of progress on any discussions, with Ross saying, quote, our president's patience is not unlimited. Marketplace's Amy Scott has the transatlantic latest.
Back in late July, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and President Trump stood side by side in the Rose Garden and announced the makings of a deal.
We agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods. Thank you.
So what's the holdup? Finance professor Jeffrey Bergstrand at the University of Notre Dame says, for one thing, U.S. trade officials have been a little busy hammering out another deal to replace NAFTA, and that involved just three countries.
When you take that to 28 countries in the European Union, it's a very demanding procedure, demands a lot of time.
And Michelle Egan, a fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations, says some of those non-tariff barriers, like differing regulations and industry standards, are hard to resolve.
There are differences in regulations on cosmetics, for example, because of animal testing, differences in the way cars are tested in terms of safety lights or seat belts.
And then there are the politics, says Charles Kupchan, professor of international affairs at Georgetown. He says in Europe, growing anti-Trump and anti-American sentiment could be another roadblock.
And on this side of the Atlantic, you've got a protectionist president who is none too keen on striking a deal with the EU because he sees it as a foe that has been seeking to take advantage of the United States.
On the other hand, Kupchan says the Trump administration has a big incentive to forge a deal to put pressure on its bigger trade target, China. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.